Now's the time to find your color, your paint, and everything to get started during Red, White, and Blue Savings at the Home Depot. Transforming your room is easier than ever. With the best deals online and in-store, you can confidently select your color and the tools for your next paint project. Get a colorful new experience and the right paint for the right price. Save $10 on 1 gallon and $40 off 3 and 5 gallons for a limited time only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Limit 25 gallons per household. See store for details.
This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist.
Open the pod bay doors, Hal.
I'm sorry, Dave. I'm afraid I can't do that.
You want answers!
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You ever dance with the devil in the pale moonlight? What?
Take your stinking paws off me, you damn dirty ape!
At the Movies on BFM 89.9.
Hello, I'm Umar Pagan, alongside Ian McNally and Bahir Yusuf. And today we're talking about the Netflix adaptation of Death Note, which is an incredibly popular Japanese manga slash anime, actually probably the most popular Japanese manga anime of recent years.
And live-action Japanese movie.
And they've done tons. There are novels, movies, there's a musical, there are video games, there's a TV show in Japan.
Wow.
Death Note is huge. It's written by Sugumi Oba and illustrated by Takeshi Obata. It's 108 chapters, the manga, and it's 12 volumes, I think, collected altogether. So it's a pretty extensive piece of work, which the Americans have decided to adapt into one hour, 49-minute movie, which is directed by Adam Wingard, who's the guy who did Blair Witch and You're Next.
And The Guest.
All the young people in the show are kind of newish. It's got Nat Wolff as Light Turner or Kira. It's got Margaret Qualley as Mia Sutton. It's got
Lakeith Stanfield as L.
And of course, it's got Willem Dafoe lending his voice to Ryuk, who is the demon of death. Yeah, death god. The story is really simple. This kid finds this notebook with the words Death Note on it. And if he writes someone's name in it and remembers their face or pictures their face while he's doing it, and the way they die in real life.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it.
Yep.
It starts off as a vengeance story, and then it kind of takes a really weird turn where he decides that he could become a god by killing anyone who is morally reprehensible.
Yeah.
And on that note, it's very similar to the anime, but that's about it. Everything else gets kind of compressed into this hour and 49 minutes.
Because, you know, then, does this cover a lot of what's... Because I haven't... The live action version of the anime of the manga has been on my list to watch for quite some time, and I just haven't gotten around to it.
So I haven't seen the live action versions. I've seen some of the animated versions, and I've read a couple of chapters from it. And what's interesting is in the cartoon and also in the comic book, it's all about that cat and mouse game between Light and L. And that's
L even got his own movie at some point, right? In the live action. I think there's a live action movie which is like Death Note L.
Oh wow. Okay, there you go. Because I mean that's the basis of that entire story. I mean, that's what keeps you watching, that's what's most compelling about it. And in this movie, a lot of that gets waylaid for this teen angsty drama between Mia and Light. Which I didn't mind because in the American version, they kind of flesh out her character a lot more than was done in the anime. She has
really,
yeah. Oh. In the anime, it's Misa, and her story is she's not so much of a true partner to Kira. In this one, she's a partner in his quest to rid the world of evil and become a god himself.
Yeah, I don't know. I kind of got tired of the whole teenage angst drama thing. I don't know what I was watching prior to that, but it's just like so many teenage angst drama. I avoid Riverdale. I saw the first episode and I'm like, I'm done.
Were you watching some Dawson's Creek, were you?
No, I have actually haven't seen any Dawson's Creek.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a mistake. Yeah. It's wonderful.
Oh, you shut your mouth.
I was just flattened by the pure breakneck pace of the opening of this. It's like, here's some kids in the rain in a really weird 90s video, music video for like the My Chemical Romance. Then there's the death book. Then there's the death note, sorry. Then there's the god appears. And then it's straight into this, like, I didn't get the kind of high school thing because it's not, I don't think it's even there. Mia is not a character in this, I didn't think at all. It just jumps into this cat and mouse game and turning into a logic puzzle because the Death Guard, there's all these other rules aside from just picturing the name and the picturing the face and writing the name.
Yeah.
And one of those rules is like the Death Guard himself is not your pet. He's not your. It's not a rule. It's a warning.
It's a warning.
In the,
yeah.
The margins, and he straight up threatens him at one point, like, you know, well, you know, once the book gets away from you, guess what the first name is going to be in
yeah.
again. So it's like, it's this thing of like, I'm not sure I want to do this anymore, but they keep putting up all these hurdles in his way of if he doesn't kill this person, people are going to be one step closer to finding out who he is
yeah.
and how can he get out of it. And it's like, it's building a logic puzzle. That aspect of it I liked really much.
Yeah.
But did you think it looked really, really Canadian?
As in low production value?
A little bit.
Yeah.
Like the Death Guard himself looks cool and like they were decent sets and everything, but I think it says at the end of the credits, thanks to Vancouver. So
it looks like Vancouver.
Yeah, even though it's set in Seattle.
Yeah.
Which is like, you could probably just set it in Vancouver anyway.
Yeah. It would be done, yeah.
But it's just this weird feeling of like, it didn't feel like a movie, but it wasn't quite a TV show.
No, so that's the thing. It felt weird at bits because I think some of the violence and gore was really well executed. Like when that kid gets decapitated at the beginning of the movie, that was some high-end special effects, some visual effects, right? And then later, you're right, there were moments when it just felt kind of cheap looking.
Yeah, and it's also, it sets out its stall with that kind of horrific, bloody thing. Mm. Do you think it's going to go down the kind of Evil Dead or Final Destination route?
Yeah.
And then it just abandons it completely.
Yeah.
Like after that, there's not much more goriness. There's maybe one or two here or there, or it's like post Death God visitation goriness. It's not like you get to see an awful lot of that stuff. But that's where it becomes, again, it falls into this like back and forth with Elle and figuring out how you're going to do things and what's going on with Mia.
Yeah. I think I was going to say that also it was shot very well. I like the way it was shot. I liked how the camera work almost sort of mirrored and matched the slight, I want to say dreariness, but the weight that I think Kia was feeling, right? That he's got this power now. What does he do with it? It's towards the middle part of the film when he starts to sort of, I don't know, gain a conscience maybe.
Yeah, is he a good guy or a bad guy? Yeah, I think he's constantly asking.
Yeah, because he's kind of on the edge of being a good guy, but when he's pushed, what will he do to protect himself?
Yeah, yeah. And I think also, and it's quite interesting how Mia just goes off the rails, goes crazy nuts, just kill everybody, we'll be fine, you know.
I think I quite like that about her character, actually, because it starts off with a certain amount of ambiguity as to why she's along for the ride.
And also,
that happened really quickly.
Yeah, way too quickly.
That's like, just like, okay, like really quick.
These things are happening so quickly that it feels like this is going to be awful in a way. It's like, oh, they don't know how to handle character relationships or plot development.
Yeah. And but yet it's strangely watchable and
it's
entertaining.
Absolutely,
yeah, once you get past that, it's like, this is the movie they wanted to tell, and there was a way artier, way more artful way to do all that. But instead, it's paint by numbers narrative.
Yeah, they just move quickly. It's like, okay, now
here's
we're
a book,
here,
here's
let's
death code,
go.
Here's a slightly crazy girl. And we're all living together in this house.
Okay, now let's go.
Let's go. And here's the other detective. And we're just going to drop the line about him being raised in a like house full of crazy detective people to be the best detective in the world. Like, what the hell's going on there?
But that is so anime, isn't it? And here's the question I had watching this, because even Kira / Light's reaction when he first meets the Death God at detention
is
a very anime reaction. Yeah. He's like screaming at the top of his lungs in this extremely high-pitched wail.
Yeah, he's anime Zach Morris.
Yeah, his eyes are all over the place. And you think...
He does that a lot. There's a lot of gurning and stuff going on later in the film. I kind of like that event.
No, but you think about how you would accept this while you're watching a cartoon, but maybe it doesn't work when it's live action. And maybe it doesn't work when it's live action and in English.
Yes.
Because I think we accept a lot more.
You would let it slide if it was just him turning around going, Nandayo!
Exactly, right?
Yeah.
You accept so much more when it's in Japanese, when it's animated, and when the reactions are over for everything.
Another thing that kept me at a distance from this was the soundtrack. The music selections were really weird.
Yeah. They were kind of covers of popular songs.
Oh, some of them were just like obscure as hell. The opening song is like a band called Australian Crawl, a song called Reckless, and it's like 1983, and it's no offense to the guys who are in the band, but it's a nothing song. Like there's no, it doesn't impart anything. It doesn't set a mood. The tone it sets is muddy. It's weird. And then the end credits, the end music is The Power of Love. not the Jennifer Rush version. No. It's the Air Supply version. Yeah. I didn't even know there was an Air Supply version. And it's, again, it's these weird choices that they made. It's like, it makes me incredibly worried for Godzilla versus Kong, which he's supposed to be directing, right?
That's right, he is.
Oh, wow.
Wait, wait, wait. Could it be a budget problem? Maybe they just couldn't afford the real version
for
the
songs. But they have Take My Breath Away in there.
Oh, that's true.
And that wasn't the cover.
Yeah.
That didn't sound like a cover.
No, it wasn't. It was the original.
It was just, again, it was this weird seesawing thing where, like, did we spend all the money on the Death God? Because he looked very cool. You never saw him
really
in a good
light. Yeah.
And then the weird choice.
No, but I thought that was one of the cleverest decisions Adam Wingard did, which was to keep him constantly in shadow.
Yeah. Mm.
And then just have Willem Dafoe ham it up with his voice.
Mm. Which is perfect.
Who is the best thing in this film, right?
Yeah.
He's amazing. Okay, this isn't Dragon Ball Evolution.
No.
By any means. It isn't a bad, awful movie.
Mm.
It's a lot of weird choices wrapped around an intriguing idea, like the candies that Elsweet eats.
So here's the thing. In the manga, right, the manga is known for its convoluted plot twists and turns, and all of that works really well on the page, in a comic book, even on TV, in something episodic. And I think in a film, when you have a limited runtime, you have to find a way to kind of cram all of that and make an hour 49 movie interesting.
Mm.
And I think he's done that, at least. It is interesting. It isn't a bad movie in that sense. However, I have to say, this one is not for the fans.
Yeah. Mm. I was just going to say that.
I think
fans
of the manga will absolutely hate this. Yeah. I think this one is for
people like me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It serves as an introduction to a very cool concept.
Yeah.
And now maybe you might be
influenced
to go.
The originals, yeah. Like, I know enough. I wouldn't even say I know enough about the idea, but I know the Death Note title. I know that the Death of God. I know you write it in the book and all that, but I never read anything, never seen anything. Yeah.
I didn't know about the rest of the rules either.
Yeah, and then I saw this and I'm like, oh, this is quite interesting. I may pick up the comic.
My biggest problem with this film is Nat Wolff. I think he's 22 years old, but he looks a lot older than the teenager he's supposed to portray.
Mm. I like his freakouts.
Yeah, but I think he was the weakest link.
Also,
I think
he runs really awfully.
Really,
what is up with his run? He's got this weird flat-footed, legs akimbo
terrible
thing going on.
Runner. Although L ran really well.
There's also some massive exposition dumps, like that. Just like this next 3 minutes is just nothing but exposition, where we're just going to tell you what's going on exactly.
I like that bit in the end, though. The exposition in the end, sort of nicely summed it up for me.
But
because to me, it was just felt like, really?
Yeah, because there is
happening?
There is an ending how that happens. And I was, at one point, I was like, when the someone bends down to pick up the Death Note at the side of the river.
Yeah,
I'm like, wait, what? Who?
Yeah.
When? And then the way they answered that was fine. But also, the way they answered that also smacks of, well, you could just write that at that point. Like, you could write the whole movie up to that point and then say, how the hell are we going to get out of this? It's like, oh, this is how we're going to, you know what I mean?
Yeah. It feels like an out.
It felt a little bit, like they did have that scene of him writing. But it did make, at the end I was kind of giggling a bit because I was like, that's kind of clever, but also it dances on so many connectivity points that it's like, it feels wrong even though it makes sense within this world.
Like,
if you want to pull that off, it would need a more talented scriptwriter to really pull off something that was like more clever, you know?
Right.
I don't think this movie is going to move any needles. You know, the original anime had huge influence to the point where children in Japanese schools were making Death Note books and putting names of their peers and teachers in it.
Oh.
And they wanted to ban the series.
Wow. That's
weird. There were also copycat killers where people were writing messages in Japanese or in Latin, I think, on the wall about Kira and all of that stuff. So, you know, big influence the original series had. I don't know if this movie comes anywhere close to that.
I don't think so.
That being said, if you've never seen the anime or read the manga, I think you'd enjoy this because it feels like a lot of fun. It feels like, I guess, average YA fare. It's not exceptional YA fare, but it'll keep you occupied on a Saturday afternoon.
So, just throwing it out there, right? Would it have been, for you, would it have been a more interesting story if it didn't have any of the characters from the anime? So essentially,
a
it
new set of characters
like,
with the Death Note and the Death God.
Was just dropped into Seattle.
It was very much an original story in that sense because it condenses so much that it could be a standalone story. It could have nothing to do with the anime, right? In that sense. But I think if you just had Death Note in America, it would have been a perfectly fine story which you could have run with any amount of American characters and given it more of an American context.
Yeah. Mm.
rooted it in even more American high school stuff. And I think that would have worked as well, right? Mm-hmm. They tried very hard to kind of shoehorn some of those anime concepts.
Anime stuff, yeah.
They tried to keep some Japanese elements in it, which I felt were absolutely unnecessary.
I think they should have just lost the first 15 minutes completely. Or just burn them, because if you lost them, you might find them again. Like, that whole sequence was just like, all of this could be done in small flashes later. Like, start with him with the book already and already halfway through it.
Right.
Because it was so ham-fisted. I was like, this...
It was so rushed.
Yeah. Mm. There's these two people looking at each other and the book lands and that's it. You're off to the races. Yeah. I'm like, whoa, give us an idea of normality first. What are the rules here?
Yeah.
Do books just fall from the sky all the time in this world? Maybe
apparently
that's normal.
Apparently so. Yeah. Apparently so. Yeah. Death Note is streaming on Netflix from the 25th of this month. Check it out and let us know what you think, especially if you're a fan of the original series. Does this do anything at all for you? I'm on at Umar Pagan.
I'm on at McNasty Prime.
I'm at Bahi Wyatt.
This is At The Movies on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Now's the time to find your color, your paint, and everything to get started during Red, White, and Blue Savings at the Home Depot. Transforming your room is easier than ever. With the best deals online and in-store, you can confidently select your color and the tools for your next paint project. Get a colorful new experience and the right paint for the right price. Save $10 on 1 gallon and $40 off 3 and 5 gallons for a limited time only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Limit 25 gallons per household. See store for details.